Well, I'll tell you, I don't know whether you feel what I feel, but I could go home right now and say it was good to be in the house of the Lord. God's presence is in this place. And he said, where two or three are gathered together in his name, where's he going to be? Right in the midst of us. Hallelujah. And you're sitting right, he's sitting right next to you. Got his arm around you. He said, worship me. Just worship me. Just trust me. It's a wonderful privilege to be here this morning and to be able to bring the Word of God. And thank you, Pastor, for inviting us. He's a character, isn't he? I love him and his wife. We have a good time together. And the Bible says laughter doeth good like a medicine. And if you can't laugh, something's wrong. Amen. Thank the Lord for his goodness and mercy. I had a message that came to my heart a long time ago, well, not too long ago, about a couple months ago. If you're a minister or you've had to speak, you know how God moves. He gives you sometime a word or he gives you a thought. And then you build upon that for a message to bring. I had nowhere scheduled to go, but that thought kept staying on my mind and kept staying on my mind and kept staying on my mind. And when Brother NR called and asked us to preach, the Holy Spirit said, that's where you've got to preach it. Never preached it before. But there's a purpose and a reason in this. And even though that this assembly may be small this morning, your problems can be big. Your stress can be big. And a lot of cares can be upon you. And even though you may be a child of God, you still go through those times. That's why you draw strength from the Lord to be able to endure. The Bible speaks of us bearing our cross, fighting a good fight. He didn't say he won all the battles, but he said, I fought a good fight anyway. And so I'm going to bring this message to you this morning. I don't know how it's going to come out, but I'm just going to let the words come. Is that okay? Will you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, and I want to read the 19th verse. I call heaven and earth. That's everybody, isn't it? I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Did you ever think about the Lord recording your day? I don't want it to be against me. I want it to be for me, don't you? That I have set before you life and death. Say that with me. Life and death. We all like that word life, but we don't always like that word death, do we? I have set before you life and death, and I have set before you blessings and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Father, we come into your presence this morning, which has been wonderful. And we thank you, Lord, for your presence here today and among us. I feel it from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head, and from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I feel it from the front of this church to the rear of this church, from one side to the other. And I know that your angels are encamped about us, and your word is upon us, Lord, and your presence is coming down, Lord, in every heart, in every life, in every soul that will open up to you, God. And even though there's a wonderful presence of the Lord, I know in some people's heart and mind, they're troubled and perplexed. But I know I serve a God that delivers. And Lord, as you've laid this message upon my heart today, I want to bring it. I don't want to say anything that you wouldn't have me to say. I don't want to do anything you wouldn't have me to do. And Lord, I give it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Shake hands with somebody and say, get ready. I didn't hear too much of it. Get ready. Sometimes we don't realize how important making choices is. But it's one of the most important things that we have to do in life. Sometimes I hate to have to make a choice. Jimmy and I spend half our time in the car saying, where do you want to go eat? I don't care. Where do you want to go? What do you want to do? I don't care. What do you want to do? What TV program you want to watch? I don't care. What do you want to watch? What are we going to have for supper? I don't know. What are you going to have for supper? But it's true. And the older you get, the more you do that. It's like Barry come by and will take us out to dinner after church. Where are you going to go? We don't care. Where you want to go? And where you want to go? In the beginning, when God created us, He made us a free moral agent. In other words, God made us and created us and gave us the opportunity to choose. You're not a Christian by force. You're a Christian by choice. You don't live your life just sera, sera. You have to make choices. And I have to say this, and I hope you understand this. If you don't, when I get through, maybe you will. You even choose death. You can die a peaceful death, or you can die a horrible death. You can leave here by people knowing that you are a child of God, and they can feel that all is well with your soul. But that there's questions, and you don't know. And that's one of the hardest things, I believe, for anyone to go through is to lose a loved one and not know for sure that they're ready to meet the Lord. And it never ceases to amaze me that when somebody dies a terrible death, a death that we would probably, all of us, think they weren't ready to meet the Lord, yet that family wants to hold on to any bit of hope that they can hold on to. And they'll say, that loved one is in heaven. I know they're in heaven. I know they're with you. And I wouldn't do anything to tear that down in them. Because you grab every bit of hope that you could grab. Jimmy had an uncle that was killed in the mines. He was a good man. He's a moral man. He was good to his wife. He was good to his child. He was a likable person. As far as anyone knows, I don't know whether he ever went to church or anything, but he was killed in the mines, and they found in his pocketbook a note with a scripture on it, and that's what the hope they grabbed a hold of. Maybe that was a sign that even though he didn't outwardly demonstrate a Christianity, but in his heart, he'd made it right with God, and that's where you make it right with God. Right here. People can't judge you. People's judgment don't send you to heaven or hell. It's your relationship with Jesus Christ. Your works don't take you to heaven. It's your relationship with Jesus Christ. You're rewarded for your works, but you go to heaven because of that relationship with Jesus Christ. And God created us, and He gave us a privilege of choosing right from wrong. God has placed in your hands, each one of you as an individual, He has placed life and He has placed death. Given you a choice. In other words, the ball is in your court. It's your decision, your responsibility. And you're given the responsibility to make that choice. No one else can make it for you. When it comes right down to it, it's yours. You choose whether you're going to heaven or going to hell. You choose which road you're going to travel, high or low. You choose whether you are weak or strong when facing temptation. It's a choice. You choose life or death, heaven or hell, or you give in or you give up. This morning I want to share and speak to you about something the Holy Spirit's laid heavy on my heart. It's just so heavy. It's a subject so many people are struggling with either now or sometime in their life. Maybe someone who's under the sound of my voice this morning is going through this right now. Please hear me. Don't do this. There is a way of escape, a way out of your problem. Don't commit suicide. When I talk about suicide this morning, I know you're not going to shout the aisles and jump the pews. But I want you to hear the word, and I want you to let it sink in. God began to dealing with me about this concerning this subject. And it seemed like everywhere I turned, this subject kept coming up. I prayed about it and I said, God, whatever you want to do, I'll do it. Maybe you are sitting here in these pews today, or maybe you're listening on the video. Please don't tune us out. We need to hear so much today about people taking their own life. Parents, friends, family. And we ask, why? Why? Why did they do this? Maybe I would have seen the signs if I'd have looked closer. No one can freely know what's in a person's mind. You don't know their pain. You don't know their hurt. You don't know their discouragement. Sometimes people smile and people are happy and jovial, but inside they're crying and they're weeping. Sure, we need to be sensitive to the way that we treat people and say things and put people down, even if we're kidding. But more than that, the person needs to be sensitive of their needs. They need to be able to brush the hurt off and clear their minds and reject to receive any kind of negative thought or attitude. But sometimes it's hard to go the other way. Sure, it's hard. But it's not as hard as reaching a point that we keep and change the outcome. In other words, the point of no return. We're told in the scriptures about two men who betrayed Christ. Both of them betrayed Christ. One sold him out for 30 pieces of silver and with a kiss. The other denied that he even knew who Jesus was. But look at the difference in the way they handled the situation. Judas went out and hung himself. Peter went out and wept bitterly and repented of what he had done. They both had the same choice. One chose foolishly and one chose wisely. And we all have that trouble. It's how we handle the situation that could lead us to death and life. A young girl at a church that we used to pastor got mad at her boyfriend on the school bus. I think he might have broke up with her. And she said, I'm going to kill myself. And he laughed at her because she'd said that before and tried that before and it didn't work. But she went home that day and she took some pills. It was on a Wednesday and she went to church. And she told her pastor when she went to church, she said, I need to talk to you. And he and his wife took her into a Sunday school room and she told him what she had done. They prayed with her. She repented. They were going to take her home. When they got outside, she threw up. They thought, you know, that was a release of those medicines. They took her home and told her family what she'd done. They took her to the hospital and she died in the emergency room. She didn't want to die. She wanted to make him mad. She wanted to hurt him. I've told young people before, I said, that's a foolish thing. I said, you're going to die and maybe stand the chance of going to hell. And you know what has going to happen to him? He's going to find him another girlfriend. Oh, he's going to grieve for about a week or two. But he's going to find him another girlfriend. And down the road somewhere, they're going to get married, have a family. They're going to go to church and get saved and serve God. But where will you be? When husbands and wives are having difficulty in a marriage, that's one of the things the devil tempts you with. I'll hurt them. I'll hurt them bad. They'll be sorry. They don't be sorry for a little while. But look at the choice you made that dooms you, that seals your where you're going to spend eternity. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Just recently, a girl in this area tried to kill herself. But it didn't work. But she ruined herself for her life, the rest of her life. She can't talk. She can't communicate. Her mind's gone. And I asked, was the choice worth it? When I was a little girl, I was in school, grade school. I loved my daddy so much, and I wanted him to please my daddy so much. I wanted to please him, but nothing I did ever pleased him. No matter what happened, I could do better. And I thought about killing myself when I was about 14, 13, 12, somewhere in there. Thought about how to do it. Even told somebody I was going to do it. But I didn't, thank God. But that was the only time I had the temptation. And I don't tell you this, I tell you this, I'm ashamed I did it, but I tell you this to try to help you, okay? And those listening, I want you to hear me. I married the most wonderful person in the world. I was an evangelist. I was used to preaching almost every night. When we got married and we went to pastoring, I didn't get to preach very much. Hadn't been married very long, just a few months, and I was pregnant with our first child. We lived away from family. We took the church that was all in the red when we went there to pastor, and we took everything we had to pay the church treasures out of the red. They had no parsonage. They paid us $45 a week if it came in. My husband had to go to work. Not one job, but two jobs. He'd go to work in the morning, come in, take a bath, take a shower, and go out that night selling books. And I was home all alone. My mind was going crazy. I was like two different lives, two different people. And I thought about taking my life again. It was terrible. I'd go to church and feel worse when I left than I did when I went. I'd try to read my Bible, but it was just like nothing. I would get on my knees and pray, and it was like the words would come back and slap me right in the face. My husband would say to me, "Why don't you get out and visit the neighbors?" I'm not that type of person. The doctor said, "You don't have to go to church every time there's church. I know what it's like. You're a preacher's wife and everybody's throwing rocks. You don't have to go. Tell your husband, come in here, I'll talk to him." I said, "It ain't my husband's fault. I got a wonderful husband." I remember kneeling down by my bed when my baby was born, just real small, laying her there on that bed and get down on my knees and try to pray. And I was crying and I was weeping. And her little old hand and them big old black eyes would look up at me, and that little hand would just brush my face. And that was enough for me to get up off of my knees and keep going to make a choice. Even after we had been married quite a while and had our family, it came back again, tormenting me about taking my own life. And one night, I was holding a revival at Merrimack, and I was preaching, and I brought in the subject of suicide, and it was there while I was preaching that night that God delivered me. Totally delivered me. And I don't think about dying now. I want to live. And I love living. I love life. I love people. But yes, I had to make a choice. It was in my hands to choose. And even though I had to press and press and press, I did. Until I got delivered. Kids get bullied at school. They get rejected. They get molested by aunts and uncles and daddies. The other day I just heard of a 20-month-old baby being molested by its father. I'd like to sit on that jury. The evil that's in our world is all around us. There's temptation everywhere. Young people by the dozens, by the millions are taking their life. 30,000 people a year die from suicide. And do you know who is the majority? Older people. When you get old, you have to push your foot forward. You have to have help to get up and get down. You drop everything you get in your hands. Everything is just different, totally different, and some people don't want to handle it. I'm a burden on everybody. I can't do nothing for myself. My son Eddie, they want us to move up there where they live and so they can take care of us. They don't have time to visit us. How are they going to take time to take care of us? He said, "Mommy, we'll put y'all in assisted living. Put you in a nursing home." I said, "If you do, I'll run away. And I'll come to your house to stay." But old people, they don't get any attention like they need to get attention. You understand what I'm saying? They used to come to church and be involved in the choir. And in things that was going on, ladies' ministry, men's fellowship, they used to be involved in that. But now it's the younger people coming on to do that, and the older people are taking a seat in the pews. Do you understand? And the enemy more. My husband wakes me up at the morning and he says, what doctor are we going to today? We declare to take Mondays off that we don't go to no doctors. But he's got an appointment in the morning at 10 o'clock. You know? Doctor, you go to the doctor for one thing, he sends you to another doctor for something else. Well, I thought you was the one supposed to help me do that. Go over to Dr. Mervis, you sit there for 3 hours and 2 hours in his office. That's 5 hours. Who's got 5 hours to give up? To be told nothing. So older people feel like they're useless. They feel like they have no reason to live. And it's a sad thing that even some that is so sick that they beg their companions to help them take their life. They don't want to live. A young girl gets pregnant, the devil says, abort. The parents say, abort. The guy says, abort. But God says it's murder. Today is the sanctity of human life we're to observe. Thank God for a president that is against it. Thank God that our nation is finally coming to some senses they didn't have. Wake up, people. We got to do something about this. We've got to reach out to these people. We've got to show them that life can still be good if they choose it. They don't have to take those lives as those kids. We moved into a church one time and at the parsonage. His family wasn't coming to church, but the neighbor came over and she said, she wants me to take her to get an abortion. Jimmy, I said, oh no, don't do that. Bring her here, let us talk to her first. Well, they cussed us and called us every name in the book. But the neighbor took her. It was her aunt. She took her to get the abortion, but she couldn't get in. You know what she done? She ended up having the child. He's a judge somewhere now. He's a Christian. And they forever thank us. You don't know when God gives you that little life and you raise it up in the fear and the admonition of God, what God can make out of that little life. Jimmy and I watch TV and I see those babies. Gosh, I ache to hold a baby. I'd have one now, but I ain't no Sarah. I love them. There's something about a newborn baby that just gets your attention and change. He was watching his grandma up early and that singing. That was your grandson. And he was watching her with all eyes. You may have had an abortion. You may have been talked into one, or you maybe thought that was the only way out. God is a forgiving God. And He chooses to forgive you if you choose to ask Him. But He's a gentleman. He will not force Himself on you. He will allow circumstances to come into your life that point you to Him. But when it comes right down to it, you have the final say-so with that decision. There's coming a day when He'll have the final say-so. Suicide is a bad thing. You can say it would never happen to me. You don't know what might happen to you. You don't know what might enter your life. You don't know. But I want you to remember, I pray the Holy Spirit puts this in your mind. Don't do it. You hear me? Don't do it. There is somebody that will hear you. God will. will hear you and He'll bring somebody your way to help you. Well, once you draw the last breath, your destiny is decided. God's grace is amazing. Church world has gone through quite a hurt recently with a great dynamic evangelist. We can't say what happened, but God knows. And it's all that matters. It's all that matters. What I'm trying to tell you this morning is this. God loves you. And there's nothing in your life that God cannot handle and do. I don't know whether under the sound of my voice I'm speaking to anybody personally here this morning or whether it's on video. But I know God said, preach it, teach it, say it. I have. And I'm putting it in God's hands. But I want you to know something. God loves you. God cares. God's able. And you know what? He wants to. But you have to make the choice. You have to make the choice. Let's bow your heads, please. God, I've spoken what you've laid on my heart to speak this morning. I don't have all the answers, but you do. I don't know all the hearts, but you do. And I pray if there's one here this morning that's not a Christian, that does not know you as a Savior, that's not received you into their heart, that, Lord, that they will open up their eyes today to realize that serving you is a choice and that they'll make the right choice before they leave here this morning and receive you as their Savior. And, Lord, I pray for those that, God, that's going through situations, battles, depression, aggravation, feeling like no one cares. Everyone would be better off without them. I pray that your love will just melt their hearts. Your love will just reach out to them, oh God. And Lord, that they'll reach back to you. And Lord, that amazing grace that only you have will reach down and set them free. Every head bowed and every eye closed. And I wonder, first of all, this morning, if there's anyone here that does not know Jesus Christ as your Savior and you want to receive Him into your heart, will you just lift your hand? Nobody's looking, and I want to ask this question, and I ask you to please answer it honestly. Nobody's watching. Have you ever been tempted to suicide? Raise your hand. Yes. 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 Anyone else? Those listening, if you're listening on this video, if you're there, if you've been tempted or are tempted now, just lift your hand to Jesus where you are. I want to say this morning that we're going to pray a prayer. Maybe you've been already delivered. Have you been already delivered from that desire, or are you still being tempted with it? Yes. If you would like to come up and let us lay hands on you and pray for you, we will. If you'll come. Okay. Might embarrass you. Don't have to.
Will you join me, church, in prayer for deliverance? Lord, we come humbly before your throne. You said we have not because we ask not, and when we ask amiss. You said to bring our requests before you, Lord, boldly presenting them to you, Jesus. Lord, these in this congregation that raised their hand that have been tempted with suicide, Lord, I pray that you would be with them and help them, God. Thank God they made a right choice and didn't do it. And God, I pray that you would deliver even the temptation from them ever again to go through this valley. That God, if they do, I just pray that they will just lift up and call upon the name of Jesus, for they will receive deliverance in your name. It's a choice, God, that they have to make. And God, help them to make that right choice, Jesus. Help them to choose life over death, God. To choose happiness over tragedy. To choose love over hate. To choose Jesus over Satan and his temptations. Oh God, we thank you this morning for your deliverance. We give you praise and glory and honor in the name above every name. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to cross your arms like this, everybody. I want you to squeeze as tight as you can squeeze. That's me loving you. Amen.